Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to this hurricane edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, we are continuing in our multi-part series. Tonight, we are talking about why the Word of Faith movement is not biblical Christianity. This may make some of you mad, but the Word of Faith movement, which has grown over the years to have made substantial inroads into the mainline charismatic and Pentecostal denominations, is wildly popular among biblically ignorant Christians across America and around the world. But did you know that the Word of Faith movement is not biblical, not Christian, and in fact is based on Eastern mysticism, voodoo, and New Age practices? The Word of Faith movement is an end times deception par excellence. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we go deep into the doctrines and theology of the Word of Faith movement practiced by such false teachers as Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Mike Murdoch, Joel Osteen, Beth Moore, T.D. Jakes, Jesse Duplantis, Lou Engel, and countless others, to show you where what they teach actually comes from. It's not from the Bible. Usually, we just play audio clips of their ridiculous rantings, but tonight, we're going to do a whole lot more than that. The Word of Faith movement needs a few basic elements to not only survive, but to replicate and grow. First and foremost, they need your ignorance of the Holy Scriptures. Then, they need greedy people who think that gain is godliness. And they need a shiny, overpowering platform from which to spew their spiritually toxic waste. Their ability to cast a spell on you is so powerful that even when they make endless prophecies that never even come close to coming true, you remain a true believer until the day you die or the day you run out of money. Join us on this edition of Rightly Dividing as we uncover for you one of Satan's many outreaches, the Word of Faith movement. Heavenly Father, I know that we're talking about a sensitive topic tonight. I know that there's many people listening here who are charismatic and Pentecostal, and a fair amount of those people are Word of Faith practitioners. Help me, Father, to show the truth of the Word of Faith movement and to expose it for the fraud that it is. And as we open up your scripture of truth and we compare what they claim to the Bible, we just ask that your Holy Spirit go before us and prepare the way and make people receptive to tonight's Bible study. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're talking about the Word of Faith movement. And you might say to me, you might be tempted to say, why bother with a whole Bible study on the Word of Faith movement? Aren't they just a bunch of crackpots from Texas? The answer is no. The Word of Faith movement contains millions and millions and millions of people across America and around the world. It is a very large denomination. And because that they are so large, we need to take their claims, we need to take what they say is Bible doctrine, compare it to Bible doctrine from your King James Bible, and to see how close to the truth they actually are. And the Word of Faith movement is a very, very, very attractive denomination because it preys upon your deepest desires. The Word of Faith movement, if you listen to what they're actually telling you, what they're actually teaching, that it is God's will for you to never be sick. It is God's will for you to always be blessed. It is God's will for you to always be financially prosperous. This is what they teach. This is what they believe. And we're going to look in the Bible tonight to see if that is accurate Bible teaching. And because this movement is so large, we need to stand up and we need to let you know the truth about their claim. So tonight, we're going to be looking at the Word of Faith movement. Let me just give a disclaimer that I understand that this does not apply to all charismatics, and it does not apply to all Pentecostals. So tonight we will be primarily addressing the Word of Faith movement in particular. However, if you are a charismatic or a Pentecostal whose church adheres to the teachings of the Word of Faith movement, then this is for you. So we are not addressing all charismatics. We are not addressing all Pentecostals. We are addressing the Word of Faith movement wherever it pops up. But the problem is it pops up in a lot of places. And like the Mormons, they are highly funded. And they have a near fanatical base of people who make sure that the people at the top become insanely wealthy. And you're going to see tonight, by listening to the teachings of these people, it's taken me many, many hours today. And I promise you, I'm not going to play Paula White going strike and strike and strike and strike. I'm not going to play those type of clips tonight. Tonight, I'm going to play clips where they're actually attempting to teach the Bible. And then we're going to compare what they teach to the Bible, and then we're going to see how close to the truth that they actually are. At the bottom of the hour, we are going to go into our prayer time, and please keep us in prayer. On the east coast of Florida, Hurricane Nicole is about to arrive. Water levels are rising. It has been raining for many, many hours, and it is very, very windy. And we are going to get a hurricane sometime after midnight tonight. So please keep everybody on the east coast of Florida, all the way down by Miami, all the way up to Jacksonville. Please keep us in your prayers as the hurricane comes. But we're not afraid. We are going forward, and we're broadcasting live across America and around the world. Glad that you are here tonight.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day see, 'cause I'll rise. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but always see that I'm the one.
Your spirit, and I praise your holy name. But oh precious Lord, to be a light that others see, your Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, will you empty me of it? Selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee. Now shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like you. Upon me, there's no hiding its wonderful glow. Family and children, my neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus. Jesus, then all others will know. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with Thee? Now shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like You. Shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like You.
Amen, amen. And if you were watching the news today or last night, then you know that the red wave of the Republican Party really didn't materialize. Now, it looks like that the Republicans are going to take the Congress. That's almost a guaranteed fact. And there is a possibility that the Republicans could grab the Senate with maybe a one-seat majority. But the red wave that everybody was anticipating did not show up. It didn't happen. Now, I wrote an article earlier where I talked about what I thought might be a reason why the red wave didn't happen. And I wrote this. There's no other way to say it, so let's just pull off the Band-Aid all at once, shall we? Last night, Republicans decided that they do not want a MAGA America, because if they did, they would have come out and supported it. Which Republican won the biggest? Ron DeSantis, who absolutely crushed it beyond all expectation, but guess what? DeSantis is not a MAGA Republican. Him and Donald Trump aren't even friends anymore. But the worst news of the night is that despite high crime, child grooming in public schools, forced government injections, forced lockdowns, rising inflations, a weak supply chain, and gasoline that is headed back to $4 per gallon, the majority of Americans, Republican or Democrat, did not send a message to the overtly authoritarian Biden regime. Why didn't they? And then I said, welcome to day 968 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And then I said this. For many, many months on our Prophecy News podcast, we've been telling you that no matter what happened on Election Day yesterday, red wave or not, that nothing would change. Sadly, that appears to be what we have this morning, this afternoon, and tonight, the day after the midterms. So who was the winner in last night's elections? The New World Order, that's who. They are the ones that have the mandate from the American people to keep on doing everything that has brought us such ruin over the past 2 years. America, now I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. America and America's Christians have become so lukewarm that we cannot unseat a regime that believes in the taxpayer-funded chemical castration of children. What do you think about that? The Biden administration has declared emphatically, they have shouted it from the housetops, that they believe in the chemical castration of children. And we can't have a red wave to get rid of that? Are you kidding me? How is that even possible? Well, it's possible because, spiritually speaking, the church in America, I don't even want to say is lukewarm. I don't even want to say sound asleep. The church in America is functionally dead. And there is no witness happening. And for the last 2 years, we have seen horrific abuses of power by the Biden administration. And we can't get rid of that. So if you're holding out hope that somehow there's going to be a miracle in 2024, I wouldn't, that to me would be a false hope. That to me would be a false hope. If we can't have a red wave with a regime that is chemically castrating children and grooming them in the public schools to be recruited into the LGBT, let me tell you something, people. America is spiritually dead. And do not spend any time at all trying to fix this problem, because you will not be able to fix this problem. But what you can do, and this is how I close out my article, and I close my article on a very, very positive note. And this is what I said. Now for the good news. Here at Now the End Begins, the revival God has given us continues to burn red hot as we are closing in on 100,000 free King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions that we have given out in 2022 alone. Our Gospel Witness Billboard program is proclaiming Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, and the number of new listeners to our Bible studies and podcasts continues to grow. People write to me every week telling me how our programs bless them. People are still getting saved, people are getting on fire, and they're getting something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, that's not only a win, that's a huge win. And let me leave you with this. The one encouraging thing about yesterday's elections is that Bible prophecy is true, right down to the lukewarm Laodicean Christian church of the last days. Your King James Bible has always told you what the last days would look like, and now we're here. And the events of yesterday bear witness to that fact. We serve a God who shows us the truth in advance. So it's not all bad news if you believe the Bible. It's not all bad news if you're on the front lines of the end times. And so you know what we're going to keep on doing here, regardless of what happens with politics? We're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. That's what we're going to keep doing here. We're going to launch a 1 million Bible program on New Year's Eve, the fourth quarter Christian million Bible program. And we are going to start that with 111,000 already given out. So we only have to actually send out 890,000. But you understand what I'm saying. We are going to continue to do what God has called us to do. And we're going to take our eyes off of politics and we're going to put them on the Bible, where our eyes should have been the whole time anyway. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, tonight we lift up Annetta. Had a stroke back in May and she's asking for prayers that she could walk again. We're also praying for her husband's salvation. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease and needs our prayer. Amanda Mathias is very sick, and we're still praying for her. Marriages that we are lifting up before the Lord to heal and restore. Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, and Bianca and Derek. Eminem is asking prayers for Tim Kelly, who was in a major car accident. Karen Robinson would like prayers for her father, who had a stroke a couple of weeks ago. Dale Parks needs a healing from bladder cancer. Elena Blackburn is expecting a baby, and would like us to pray that she will be able to carry that child to full term and give birth to a healthy baby. Amen. Marcia Sanford would like prayers for the Troll family. Stephen and his family were missionaries in Iraq. They were ambushed while driving in a car, and Stephen was executed in front of his wife and one of his children. And Marcia says, please pray for his wife, three daughters, and young son. And that is a horrific thing to have happen, but it happens fairly often on the foreign field. This is why our support of foreign missionaries is so vital. Praise report. Kyle Gorzel's dermatologist called to tell him that the biopsy from the mass on the top of his head came back benign. And Kyle says, thank you, everybody who prayed for me. CJ says, I witnessed to my friend Angela and my nephew Andrew. Both were very receptive. Please pray that it will make a difference in their life. Also, need prayers for my sister-in-law's grandson, four-year-old Teddy, having surgery tomorrow to remove a tumor on his brain stem. Really need prayers. Thank you. Amen. Natalie, praise report. From the bottom of my heart, thank you to each and every one of you, and I know Ken would like me to pass along his gratitude. Thank you also to Phyllis for the awesome communication. Jeanette, praying for your spoken and unspoken, and she says to me that storm just get on its giddy up and ride off into the sunset. Amen. And Natalie says, thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice with you with that praise report. April has a prayer request. I have a person named Judy Casper Ferretra that I'm talking to on Facebook. She is a Catholic. I told her a little bit of what's going on in the world, and she's open to it. I invited her to come to the Sunday service, and she said that she'll be there. And April says, if we could pray for her, that would be great. Also, please pray for my daughter. Amen. Lee J. says, praise God report. I requested an unspoken prayer request for Monday. I am pleased to say that the matter was quickly settled. Thanks to all of you NTEB prayer warriors for praying. Amen. Lola W., praise report. Thanks for unspoken prayers from my mom on Monday. All was resolved. Amen. Blaine says, please continue to pray that God opens a door soon so I can get into government-assisted housing. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you, Lord, tonight. We ask you to heal. We ask you to work and move as only you can. Father God, if you don't do it, it won't get done. If you don't give it to us, we won't have it. And we just come before you, Lord, as a needy people. We confess our need that we can do very little for ourselves, Lord, certainly nothing for salvation. We can accept it or reject it. That's all we can do. But Father God, we do confess that we do not have the ability to speak things into existence. We do not have the ability to declare the future outside of your written and revealed prophetic word. So Father God, we come to you tonight and we drop all these prayers and praises into your lap. And say, help us tonight, Lord. Thy will be done for your glory, for our good. And we ask it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, I say this a lot, but I don't think I'm ever going to stop saying it. I really appreciate that we are a praying people. And that makes all the difference. And that is one major, major reason why God blesses us the way that he does. And we are going to continue to come before the Lord and to seek his face and his will and his way. And we just thank you and praise you, God. Spray of Sunshine says, please pray for my son who has relapsed. Amen, Lord. We lift up Spray of Sunshine Son to you, and we ask you to work and move in his life as only you can, God, and get him back on the narrow way. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At the top of the hour, I issued a disclaimer for this program, and I don't want to go into that whole long disclaimer again, but suffice to say that we're going to be talking about the Word of Faith movement, and it is charismatic and Pentecostal in nature, even though the Word of Faith movement does not speak for the entire charismatic and Pentecostal denominations. But as you're going to see tonight, it's really, really infiltrated both of those denominations to a very, very high degree. And it's bad. It's really, really bad. And so tonight, I want to show you what the Word of Faith or Word Faith movement is all about. And I want to show you where it comes from. I want to show you where it comes from. It doesn't come from the Bible. The Word of Faith movement comes from Eastern mysticism, is where it comes. Before I got saved, I was involved in the New Age movement. And just, I mean, I was not into that as long as I was a Roman Catholic or anything even remotely close to it. But I did spend a couple of years in the New Age movement, so I'm fairly familiar with what the New Age movement is all about. In Acts chapter 19, verses 16 through 20, Acts 19, 16 through 20, we read this. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In Acts chapter 19, you are solidly in the church age. We see a group of people who are operating in the realm of Eastern mysticism, of the old Babylonian religion. And the Bible says that they use curious arts. And when they got saved, they took those books and they burned those books. So what does that have to do with the Word of Faith movement? It has everything to do with the Word of Faith movement. Now, the modern day father, if you will, of the Word of Faith movement is a man by the name of Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was a Baptist preacher in Texas in the 1930s, later became an Assembly of God minister, that's Pentecostal Church, in 1937. He became involved in the post-World War II Pentecostal healing revival in the 1940s and 50s with such well-known faith healers as Oral Roberts, Gordon Lindsay, and T.L. Osborne. It is during this time that he began to develop the teachings that would eventually become the heart of the Word of Faith message. He claims to have had a series of spiritual visions and visitations from Jesus Christ. So, first thing that you need to know about the founder of the Word of Faith movement, his new doctrines did not come from the Bible. Didn't come from the King James Bible, didn't come from the NIV, didn't come from the ESV, didn't even come from the Passion Translation. Kenneth Hagin received these revelations through a series of spiritual visions and visitations from Jesus Christ. He claims to have received all of his distinctive teachings directly from Jesus himself. Now, also, during this time, Hagin was highly influenced by the teachings and ideas of a man called E.W. Kenyon, a holiness preacher who emphasized divine healing and positive confession, combining traditional Wesleyan holiness beliefs with concepts taken directly from New Thought metaphysics. New Thought metaphysics is a 19th century cultic movement that emphasizes the power of the human mind and its ability to shape and form our reality, even to the point of healing the body or creating wealth, simply through positive confessions and positive thinking. New Thought is the source for such religious movements as the Unity School of Christianity, Christian Science, Scientology, oh man, and the positive mental attitude, pop psychology, from the 1970s and 1980s. So this, not the Bible, this is the source of all the distinctive teachings and practices of the Word of Faith movement. It is this combination of New Thought metaphysics combined with traditional Christianity that Kenneth Hagin used to form the core of Word of Faith doctrines. In fact, Hagin was criticized because he heavily plagiarized Kenyon's writings, in some cases copying nearly word for word. Hagin took Kenyon's teachings and combined them with traditional Pentecostal beliefs and practices, and voila, the Word of Faith movement was born. Although Kenyon believed in and practiced divine healing, he was not a Pentecostal. So, do you see where all that stuff comes from? If you want to understand what's wrong with the Word of Faith movement, you have to understand that this is not simply people who have a slightly different interpretation of the Bible. These are people who are teaching you positive confession. What does Joel Osteen say all the time? Take a listen to this. I'm only going to play a couple of minutes, but take a listen to Joel Osteen, and this is what it sounds like when you take that New Age metaphysical positive confession and you run it through the filter of the Bible. This is what you get.
I'm going to declare some things that God says about you. If you will let these words take root, if you will receive them into your spirit, they're going to put you on a path to greater joy, better health, stronger relationships, to new levels of your destiny. These words have the power to ignite something in your spirit, to wake up dreams, to unleash the favor, the gifts, the potential that God put in you.
I'm stopping him right there. Why? I want you, and I'm actually going to start this clip back from the beginning, because I want you to get this. I need you to understand what Osteen is actually saying. That the words that he tells you to declare, not scripture, but words that he tells you to declare, are going to wake up dreams inside you and are going to bring you the things that you want to have. And it's not the Bible. Take a listen again.
I'm going to declare some things that God says about you. If you will let these words take root, if you will receive them into your spirit, they're going to put you on a path to greater joy, better health, stronger relationships, to new levels of your destiny. These words have the power to ignite something in your spirit, to wake up dreams, to unleash the favor, the gifts, the potential that God put in you.
Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him.
God bless you. It's great to be with you today. I hope you'll stay connected with us throughout the week. We have a daily podcast that you can download. You can go to our YouTube channel, watch the messages anytime, or of course you can follow us on social media. Our goal is to keep it encouraged and inspired. But thanks for tuning in. Thanks again for coming out today.
Did you hear what he just said? He said that their goal is not to teach you the Bible. Their goal is not to give you the Word of God. Their goal is to keep you encouraged and inspired by whatever.
I like to start with something funny. And I heard about this man. He said, I've read so many terrible things about how bad eating sugar and junk food is. I've made a New Year's resolution. No more reading. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I want to talk.
Now, Joel Osteen says that he is what that Bible says that he is. Well, this is what that Bible says that he is. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:24. How about this, starting in Romans 7:14? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, I do. How about this in Romans 7:18? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's what that Bible says that Joel Osteen is, what you are, and what I am.
To you today about, I declare. Words are powerful. They have the ability to help set the direction for our lives. When they're spoken over us by someone that has authority, like a parent, a coach, a mentor, they can...
Again, he is talking about using words to manifest what it is that you want to have. Have you ever spent 5 seconds on Instagram? Have you ever spent 5 seconds on Facebook? Because if you have, then you know what the New Age principle of manifestation is all about. It is New Age witchcraft is what it is. But this is what the Word of Faith movement teaches. Now, I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail with Joel Osteen. I want to get back to Kenneth Hagin because he is the father of the Word of Faith movement. Now, How is it possible that this movement could have 100 million followers? Because at the bedrock of their movement, it is all about manifesting what you want to receive. I'll say that again. The reason why the Word of Faith movement has so many followers is because the core principle is based on manifesting what you want to receive, whether it's a house, cars, a mate, money, health, healing. It is all about the New Age principle of manifestation. And I just want to play this clip. It's only a couple minutes long. And it's kind of an old clip. But this is Kenneth Hagin telling you how to get wealth.
But I said, I went on a fast. The third day of my fast, the Lord said, the reason you're not eating the good of the land is you don't qualify.
What?
You don't qualify.
Why?
Well, I grabbed my stomach. My stomach felt like somebody hit me in the stomach with a fist. I mean, it really literally hurt. I said, Lord, you've hit me a low blow. I obeyed you. You said if you'd be willing and obedient. I obeyed you. Yeah, but he said you weren't willing.
Oh.
You just got through sin. I'd rather stay there.
Okay.
Now, it didn't take me 10 seconds to get willing.
I see.
And I made a little adjustment right down in here.
Willing.
And then
adjustment.
I said to the Lord, I'm willing. I know I'm willing. God knows I'm willing. You know I'm willing. The Holy Ghost knows I'm willing. The devil knows I'm willing.
Okay. You're talking again now.
I'm
speaking.
I'm talking.
Yes.
But you see, you can be willing and obedient, and yet you're wrong thinking. And if you think wrong, you believe wrong. And if you believe wrong, you'll talk wrong. Has to be corrected.
Yeah.
So he said to me, go back to the book of beginnings. I knew that was Genesis.
Yes, sir.
He said, I made the world and the fullness thereof. And he said to me, the 50th Psalm said, the world and the fullness thereof is God's. It went on to say, the silver and the gold is God's. Mm-hmm. The psalmist also tells us the cattle of 1,000 hills are the Lord's. Mm-hmm. He said, now they're not mine because they're in my hands. They're mine because I created them.
Yes.
But for whom do you think I created them? The devil and his crowd?
No.
Oh.
I created all of those things before man was ever came. Now then, I got them here for him. So I made my man Adam. And I said, Adam, I give you dominion over all the work of my hands. Then he's got dominion over the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's got dominion over the silver and the gold. In one sense of the word, you could say Adam became the God of this world.
Of course.
Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 4th verse, the Bible said Satan's the God of this world.
Yes, sir.
How did Satan become the God of this world? Adam committed high treason.
Gave it up, yes.
Gave it over to him. And Satan's got a right to be here, and he and his cohorts will be here until Adam's lease runs out. Amen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I saw that then. I saw that. Then the Lord said to me, don't pray for finances anymore or money like you have. You know, because we beg and pray. Slobbered and prayed.
I don't know if we've been
that's
there.
That's Oklahoma talk.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And cried. He said, I said, what do I do? He said, number one, you claim what you need.
So, the first thing that Kenneth Hagin is telling you, and I'm playing the entire clip in context, so you can't say, well, you didn't play the whole clip. I'm playing the whole clip. The first thing that Kenneth Hagin says that you have to do if you want to get rich, you have to claim it. You have to speak it into existence. Have you ever heard a book called Think and Grow Rich by a man named Napoleon Hill? Napoleon Hill says, "You are the master of your destiny. You can influence, direct, and control your environment." What Kenneth Hagin is teaching here is New Age thought manifestation.
Now, at that time, 1950, January 1950, it took $150 a week to meet my budget. All right, then you claim that.
Okay.
And then once you claim it, say, "I claim." He said, "The money's not up here. I'm not going to send any raining down from heaven. I'd have to counterfeit, and I'm not a counterfeiter." It's down there.
Yes.
So you say, and it's not me that's withholding from your children.
No.
It's Satan, the god of this world. You first claim what you need or want. And then he said, you say, "Satan, take your hand off of my money."
Okay, so the first thing that you have to do is you have to claim what you need and what you want. And then the second thing that you have to do is you have to begin a conversation with the devil. Did you get that? The first thing that you have to do is you have to claim what you want. You have to speak the words out loud. And then the second thing that you have to do is you have to go and negotiate with the devil.
And then you say, "Go ministering spirits and cause it to come."
Go ministering spirits.
Ministering spirits.
You're talking to the angels now.
Yeah. And I said, "Now that's brand new. That's revelation. I've never got anything like that. You know, I mean, that's different than what we've been taught."
Yes.
I said, "Lord, I'm going to have some scripture for that. he said, "Well, didn't you ever read the book of Hebrews where it said angels are ministering spirits who are sent to minister for those who are heirs of salvation?" I said, "I thought that said minister to us." "No," he said, "it says for." I had to open my Bible and read it. Sure enough, it said minister for. He said, they're there to minister for you. Like, for instance, he said, you go into a restaurant and a waiter or waitress comes. They're not there to minister to you, they're minister for you.
Yes.
You give the order and they carry it out. Now you give the order, so go ministering spirits and cause the money to come.
Go ministering spirits and cause the money to come. Are you seeing? I mean, this is laughable. And if I would say that he said these things without playing a clip of him saying it, I would be accused of slandering this man because it is so unbelievable that anybody would say that, but it is doubly unbelievable that a movement like this could get 100 million followers. Why do people believe this crap? Well, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you why people believe this crap. Don't go away. We're just getting started.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor in love where men revile you.
So send I you
to lose your life in mine.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind
because they will not see. To spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has sent me, so send, so send, so send I you.
Amen, amen. We are back for hour two of tonight's Bible study. If you're just tuning in, why the Word of Faith movement is not biblical Christianity. In the first half hour, we played a fairly shocking and outrageous clip from the founder of the Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Hagin, where he demonstrated the New Age principle of thought manifestation to get what you want to have in this life. And he said the first thing you have to do is you have to confess what it is that you want. You have to speak the words. Next thing you have to do is you got to go start talking with Satan. And then you have to go to the angels and command the ministering spirits to bring you Satan's money. Now, does that sound like biblical Christianity to you? Does that sound like I'm slandering the Word of Faith movement? Well, if it sounds like that, go back and listen to the clip that I played in the first half hour, and you'll see that I am telling you the gospel truth. A protege of Kenneth Hagin is a man by the name of Kenneth Copeland. And this clip also... an old clip, it's kind of staticky, and this is what Kenneth Copeland believes to be true about Jesus Christ. Take a listen to this.
How many Bibles have you got a hold of?
Oh, I don't know. It's whatever you need.
Yeah.
The Bible is not difficult for men to understand because it's old and ancient. It's because it's so far advanced, we're just now beginning to catch up with it. And God has proven himself. He has proven himself that it is his will to deliver mankind from everything that is against him. He's proven that. And he has set it in a blood framework that in the Hebrews, the sixth chapter, it says that the oaths that God swore become the hope that is the anchor of our soul. Mm-hmm. See, Abraham hoped against hope. When all other sources says this can't happen, he said, "Nah, I'm in covenant with God. Now, I know better." And so that becomes the anchor of our souls.
It's like the whole thing finally ties all together. You know, there's a thread here that I haven't really got. But then when you bring out something, here's the question. And you've answered it to a great extent, but somebody may not have gotten a hold of it yet. We don't kill animals anymore. We don't have altars and fire passing through the pieces. And okay, how does somebody hungering for God and to know him today, how do we enter into that covenant with him today?
The covenant has already been cut. It's already been done. It's not something that has to be redone. The covenant actually was cut the night that God walked through those pieces with Abraham. When did he used to redo that?
Now, does that sound like biblical Christianity to you? Kenneth Copeland was asked a very simple to answer question. How does somebody get saved? How do you get your sins paid for? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For ye are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Kenneth Copeland goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 15 about God and Abraham.
Now, Jesus came. God is the author of his thoughts. Total author of his words. Total author of his actions. The Father in heaven was his head on this earth. Spiritual head. Can you see that? He didn't have any right as a man to go without a spiritual head. If there would ever been a man that would have been sovereign, it would have been Jesus, but he couldn't have been since he was the last Adam. There was absolutely no difference between Jesus and Adam except Jesus, the man, not the body, but the man, was not born out of the inside of God as a man. He had always been one with God and came in the man's body.
You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is what the Bible says Jesus Christ is. Not this nonsense that Copeland is rambling with, but it gets worse. Hang on.
But he emptied himself of all reputation, emptied himself of all privileges. Not one thing that he could or would do in this earth that violated the fact that he was man. One thing. He went to the cross, made himself obedient to death, stepping down from that spiritual class that God and man together in, just like Adam did.
All right, we are back. I apologize for that technical glitch. It was totally my fault, but we are back, and we are talking about the foundations of the Word of Faith movement. And as I think you're starting to see, the Word of Faith movement is based on the New Age practice of positive confession. This is why all these Word of Faith people are constantly talking about the words you speak, the words you say. You have to declare things to exist. Now, last time I checked, the only person who could speak and declare something to exist was God the Creator. And if you're not God the Creator, then you do not have the ability to speak into existence what it is that you... Now, you can pray. You can say, Lord, if it be your will, such and such a thing. But you do not have the ability to speak into existence. So why do so many people believe that this is true? Well, they believe it because this is what they're taught by these false teachers. And these false teachers, if you follow them, if you pay attention to what they say, see the type of people that they associate with and the claims that they make. How about this one? Benny Hinn bragging about the word of knowledge that he had received that Jesus Christ was going to physically appear at one of his rallies. Take a listen to Benny Hinn saying Jesus was going to appear live on the stage with him.
He told me he's about to show up. And you know, oh, I got to tell you this quickly, just before we go. I had a word of prophecy from Ruth Heflin. You know who Ruth Heflin
is?
Ruth prophesied over me back in the 70s, and everything she said has happened. She's just sent me a word through my wife and said, the Lord spoke to her audibly and said that he is going to appear physically in one of our crusades in the next few months.
My God. Ready for that.
Yeah.
So he said that this woman named Ruth gave him a word of knowledge, spoke to her audibly, and said that Jesus Christ was going to appear in the flesh at one of Benny Hinn's crusades. Now, did that happen? No, that did not happen. Did people stop following Benny Hinn because his prophecy did not come true? No, people did not stop following Benny Hinn because his false prophecy did not come true. And this is one of the most amazing things about the Word of Faith movement. It doesn't matter how many times that they make a false prophecy, they are never held to be accountable for that false prophecy. They never, ever have to explain the word that they gave didn't come true. Why don't the people that follow them say, hey, you said that such and such a thing was going to happen. You said the Lord gave you a word of knowledge, and it didn't happen. Back in 2021, Kenneth Copeland, he declared something, and he declared something that was pretty big. Kenneth Copeland got into the Spirit, and he had a word from the Lord, and he declared the coronavirus outbreak to be over. Take a listen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Come on, give God glory and praise.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh,
I execute judgment on you, Satan. You destroyer. You killer. You get out. We break your power. You get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
Kenneth. So we'll just stop that clip right there. First, Kenneth Copeland told you that he is standing in the office of the apostle and prophet of God. Then he declared the coronavirus to be over. And then he declared his demand that God would manifest a vaccination. Well, if he's already standing in the office of prophet and apostle, and he has already spoken and told you that it was over, what do you need a vaccine for? And you see, these are the type of questions that the followers of these people never ask. They never hold their prophets accountable. Now, the biblical test of whether a prophet is telling you the truth or not is that they're never wrong because they're speaking the words of God. And you know, Jeremiah knew that this was a problem even back in his days. Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31. If you want a biblical explanation for the power that the Word of Faith movement has over people, Jeremiah 5, verses 30 and 31. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? Do you see what Jeremiah said in verse 31 of chapter 5? Yeah, the prophets prophesy falsely, but the reason why the movement is so popular, the reason why there are millions and millions of followers, is because the people love to be deceived. They are promised wealth, they are promised health, they are promised prosperity. And none of these things are Bible promises for the born-again believer in the church age. And the reason why that this movement is as large and as powerful as it is because at the heart of it, these Laodicean Christians, and I'm not saying that they're not saved, I'm saying that they are ignorant of the Bible. I'm saying that they are willingly ignorant of the scriptures. And they love to have these smooth words spoken to them. And they do not hold their leaders responsible. Now, when you get into the church age, how about listening to the Apostle Paul? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at what Paul says. Verses 11 through 16. 1 Corinthians 4, 11 through 16. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. These people that we're talking about tonight are not followers of the Apostle Paul. They are not followers of Jesus Christ. They are name it and claim it, thought manifestation, New Age practitioners. Take a listen to Jesse Duplantis talking about speaking things into existence.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Faith the Facts. I hope you enjoy these segments because we enjoy coming into your life and speak the word of God to you on different subjects all over the world. I want to talk about something that's very powerful. Everybody uses them and they don't really realize how powerful they are. And that is words. Words are vessels. They're containers that hold your past, your present, and your future. So what you say, I'm going to tell you something, will account for something past, present, or future. So what are you saying today? What are you willing to believe for? Because it won't happen without words. You don't just put...
There he is again. This is exactly what Kenneth Hagin was teaching half a century ago. It is New Age word and thought manifestation. That there are words that you can speak that give you the power to get you what you want. Now, Kenneth Hagin is dead, and I don't know if he was a saved man or not. I hope he was, but I certainly could not say that for sure. I hope he's in heaven, but Jesse Duplantis is not dead. Jesse Duplantis is carrying on the legacy of New Age thought control.
put this inside your mind. You have to speak those things. And when you speak those things will come to pass. I want to give you a scripture. And it's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, especially since I'm getting older. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's Proverbs 18, verse 21. Now, the reason why I like that, not because I'm afraid to die. Dying's easy, man. It ain't nothing. It's living that's hard. But when I made up my mind that I have the ability, and I'm going to freak out a few of you right now. I'm going to use some words. I have the ability to say how long I'm going to live. I have the ability to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out with the words of my mouth.
Did you hear what he said? Jesse Duplantis just told you that he has the ability to decide how long he is going to live. Now, this is another way that they get people to follow them. They make these outrageous promises that if you will follow these false teachings, you will have all the money that you need, you'll have all the health that you need, you'll live as long as you want to live.
I have the ability to tell trouble. I say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in my heart. Believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I'm going to have whatsoever I say. That's some power. What are your words saying?
Jesse Duplantis just said, I'm going to have whatever I say. Is that a Bible doctrine? Can you find that anywhere in the Bible? In any dispensation?
If you got children going crazy on you, you want them to get saved, start speaking the promise that it's their tough luck. They were born to you. They're getting saved whether you like it or not, because you got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. If you're afraid of dying, blow that out the water, man. All you got to do is just say that with the words, I shall live and not die. That's another scripture. That's what I'm talking about. Don't care how old you get or how young you are. God's word is true. Now, you got to be careful how you say things, because when you say things, they will create a destiny and a destination. Look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4.
Your words will create a destiny and a destination. None of what this man is telling you is biblical. He is a false prophet who is encouraging his followers to engage in New Age practices. When I was in the New Age movement, we used to get into a meditative state and we would speak to the spirits and we would tell them what we wanted those spirits to bring to us. That's exactly what Joel Osteen teaches. That's what Jesse Duplantis teaches. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Paula White, Beth Moore. They all teach this crap. And none of it's true. Take a listen to this guy. His name is Mike Murdoch. And when you want to talk about, I mean, this guy doesn't even pretend to know anything about the Bible. He just goes directly and he appeals to your greed. Take a listen to Mike Murdoch. I mean, it's going to sound like a Saturday Night Live sketch, but unfortunately, it's not.
I don't know if you do, but I hate old money that's wrinkled and dirty and got all the diseases on it. I like new money. And when I give things to people, I like to give stacks of money. It's fun. You ever had a stack of new money? Have you? You have it? Have you?
A little stack.
A little. Oh. And so I made, you know, the big stack where it was brand new. And I like brand new money. I don't want any money around me that's not. I'd almost rather have a new one than an old 20. Now, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? But there's something about new money that excites you. You like $100 bills?
Oh, yeah. I like old money, too.
Oh. Most beautiful thing on earth is a $100 bill. I haven't seen a woman as good looking as a $100 bill. There's something about a $100 bill that excites you. So anyway, I gave it to her just because... I did it to my sister. She took off the other day for somewhere, and so as she went to leave, and... I went out to her and her husband. I said, sis, I just want to give you a stack of money just to feel good. Just to feel good. Just stroke it. And he said, we don't give to get something back. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do.
That's about all of that junk that I can take. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy 6, 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Are you starting to see what attracts people to the Word of Faith movement? None of it has anything to do with the Bible because they are not teaching the Bible. You want to know what they teach? Take a listen to this.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. Now, it was sealed. I mean, it happened when he was in hell. Oh, they were having the biggest party that had ever been had. They had my Jesus in the floor, and they were standing on his back, jumping up and down, laughing, and he had become sin. Don't you think that God was pacing, wanting to put a stop to what was going on? All the hosts of hell were up on him. Up on him. Up on him. The angels are in agony. All the creation is groaning. All the host of hell was upon him. Up on him. They got on him. They got him down in the floor and
oh,
got...
Boy. It's so hard for me to listen to this. It really is. I take no pleasure in playing it for you. Trust me. So, Joyce Meyer, she teaches that... Jesus Christ had to be born again. Turn to John chapter 3. Turn to John chapter 3. Is it possible that Jesus became born again? No. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What is the purpose of becoming born again? It is so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. You can become part of the body of Christ. Joyce Meyer says that Jesus became born again in hell. He became a Christian in hell. Now, if you don't know why that's a heresy, that's a big problem.
Not on him. And they were laughing and mocking. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You trusted God, and look where you ended up. You thought he'd save you and get you off that cross. He didn't. Ha, ha, ha. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Here comes the sun. Sunday morning. God gets himself together. Ha, ha.
God gets himself together. Now, what could that possibly entail? God has to get himself together for Sunday morning, just like how you do when you get ready to go to church. You got to get yourself together. It's ridiculous.
Justice has been met. Somehow the thing's been taken care of. And old God gets his voice together. And he hollers out three words. And they go roaring through the universe and entering the gates of hell. He said, it is enough! It is enough!
Satan was seated on his throne with a sickening grin on his face, his lip twisted in grotesque triumph, and all the imps of hell were dancing a jig. And the word came, we got him now. We've defeated the plan of God. And the devil was sitting there saying, I told you, if you'd follow me, I'd lead you to victory. We got him now. And they wrapped their grimy hands and the chains of hell itself around Jesus. And they consigned him to one of the cells in the Hades section of the underworld. And then Satan and his demon host went on a 3-day drunk. They thought they had him. They had defeated and thwarted the plan of Almighty God. And Jesus sat there, as it were, immobile, not saying a word, not doing anything, except serving our sentence. Why did Jesus then on the cross say, my God?
All right, I can't play any more of that clip. It's giving me a headache, but Joyce Meyer says that when Jesus went down to hell after he got himself together, and I guess he got dressed and whatever else he did, and he finally got his voice together and he starts to cry out, it is enough. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it record that Jesus said, it is enough when he went to the cross. He said, it is finished. He never said it is enough at the crucifixion or the resurrection. So how is it possible, you might ask, that Joyce Meyer could have so many followers that she becomes a multi-millionaire? How is that even possible? Well, because what she does is not a church. Well, it's a church from the fact that it is a called out assembly of people, but any group of people meeting anywhere for anything is a called out assembly. If you go to a meeting of the Freemasons, that's a called out assembly. And one thing that all the followers of all these false teachers have in common is that their people do not know the Bible. If they did, they would not be their followers any longer. So what is it like when you attend a Kenneth Copeland or a Rodney Howard Brown church service? Well, you might expect to experience something like this.
What other people think? No. Doesn't matter what they think. No more di esta pacalia do. Le bev di a fashion opre. In a mamma no mogo lombon jemba. Me ne mo mori di a casti a cello soso.
And a mamma mora vieste, and a manjugura televia, and sakara diestocora, e boya, e ha, woo, prefia pala, many in socora de.
Oh.
So that's Kenneth Copeland and Rodney Howard Brown, and they are giving you an advanced revelation not found in any Bible, because these people don't teach the Bible. They do not preach the Bible. Now, if what you're hearing tonight is offensive to you, then what you're really offended by, you're offended by the fact that I am calling out this garbage. I have been using scripture the entire time to show you the utter insanity of the Word of Faith movement. If you were to sit down at a kitchen table and say, okay, I'm going to plan out this new movement, and you were to show somebody what that would look like, nobody would ever imagine in their wildest dreams that anybody would be a follower of that. And yet, the Word of Faith movement is one of the largest denominations in Christianity. Now, how about this? I promised you that I was not going to play Strike and Strike, and I won't. But I want you to listen to what Paula White did 2 years ago. She's the spiritual advisor to Donald Trump. I want you to listen to what she said back in 2020. Take a listen to this.
I am so honored to be with you, and what an encouragement to the body of Christ and to you, Mother Moon, for your tireless efforts and gather people for the better cause. I congratulate you. God wants to bring restoration. So I pray that you, myself, along with Mother Moon, will be a part of that great restoration. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather scatters. We thank you for that spirit of gathering on you, Mother Moon. May the spirit of gather come upon you right now. And may God.
May the spirit of gather. I mean, that sounds like something from, Middle Earth and the Lord of the Rings. May the spirit of gather come upon you. How is it? Oh, brother, I should stop asking those rhetorical questions.
Do a great work to gather us together. We are praying for America and also for the reunification of Korea. I'm reminded of this story that I'd like to read to you in Mother Moon's memoir. On page 355, it entails and says this. Mother Moon tells about a photograph of her grandmother, Miss Joe, with a child on her back.
All right, no more of that. But Paula White has followers that are so deceived that she can go and be the keynote speaker for Mother Moon at the Unification Church, and nobody in her crowd stands up and has a problem with that. How spiritually dead do you have to be when your leader is openly embracing cults like the Unification Church and calling Mother Moon a Christian? You know, before her husband died, Mr. Moon, he claimed to be the incarnation of Jesus Christ back in the 1980s. The guy who started the Unification Church, a man by the name of Sung Young Moon, he claimed to be the physical manifestation of Jesus Christ. Now, how is it possible that Paula White, who is a word of faith teacher, can embrace a lost cult leader like Mother Moon, and she doesn't lose her ministry, her donations don't drop off, there's no headline articles calling her out. What this shows you, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to show you the biblical framework that allows this to happen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, right now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Paula White, Beth Moore, Mike Murdoch, Rodney Howard Brown, Todd White, Todd Bentley. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And this is why Paula White can go and give a speech honoring a heretical cult leader, and it doesn't diminish her following in any way, shape, or form. Because her following, they are not practical Christians. There's no Bible study going on. There's no spending time in the Word. What they're doing is manifesting words to give them what they want. How about this? Remember last year when Creflo Dollar, and this guy is a huge heretic, remember when he repented of his false tithing teaching? Take a listen to Creflo Dollar telling people what a bad Bible teacher he is.
I want to start off by saying to you that I'm still growing, and that the teachings that I've shared in times past on the subject of tithing were not correct. And today I stand in humility to correct some things that I've taught for years and believed for years, but could never understand it clearly because I had not yet been confronted with the gospel of grace. I won't apologize, because if it wasn't for me going down that route, I would have never ended up where I am right now. But I will say that I have no shame at all at saying to you, throw away every book, every tape, and every video I ever did on the subject of tithing, unless it lines up with this. I've done some corrective teaching. So
there you have Creflo Dollar, and he's admitting that for the past 20 years he's lied to his people. He's taught them something that was not true. And yet he offers no refunds for all the false materials that he sold his people. He says he's really not sorry. And he didn't really repent, because he still teaches this false doctrine of Old Testament tithing. Now, if you want to tithe, you absolutely can. I tithe, and quite often I'll tithe more than 10%. And I have seen God take that and bless that. And if anybody was ever to ask me, should they tithe? I would say absolutely, but I would never, ever in a million years teach it as a New Testament command in the writings of the Apostle Paul, because it doesn't exist. There is no command to tithe. Now, Abraham didn't have a command to tithe when he tithed to Melchizedek, but he did it anyway. But that's not what the word of faith teaches. The word of faith teaches that you have a commandment to tithe, and that is simply not true. Well, we're beginning to wind down our Bible study tonight. I don't see a whole lot of questions in the chat room. I guess a lot of this is kind of self-explanatory. But these are things that need to be said, because the Word of Faith movement is really, really a very large movement, and it needs to be called out. Take a listen to Word of Faith healer Gloria Copeland claiming the ability to control the weather.
You know, you're supposed to control the weather. I mean, Ken's the primary weatherman at our house, but when he's not there, I do it. He can see what's happening out there. It shows just like they have on at the weather, like on the news. I mean, he's got the computers, got the current weather on it and all that for flying. So sometimes I'll hear something. I'll hear the thunder start. Maybe he'll still be asleep. And I'll say, Ken, you need to do something about this. And knowing that, but you are the one that has authority over the weather. One day, Ken and Pat Boone, we were in Hawaii at their house, and they were sitting outside, and there was a weather spout out over the ocean. And that's like a tornado, except it hits the water. And so they were sitting there, and they just watched it, rebuked it. It never did anything. One day, I was in the airplane in the back, and my little brother was in the back with me, and Ken was up front flying. And we were not in the weather, because we don't fly bad weather. But we could see the weather over here. And I looked out the window, and that tornado came down just like this, down toward the ground. And Ken said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get back up there. So this is how I learned how to talk to tornadoes. I saw this. And that tornado went, whoop, 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 whoop. Even while I was watching, and my little brother was not a devout Christian at that time, and that was really good for him to see. So you're the weatherman. You get out there, or the weather woman, whichever it is, and you talk to that thing, and you tell it, you're not coming here, I command you to dissipate, and you get back up there in Jesus' name.
So there's the wife of Kenneth Copeland, and she's commanding a tornado to get back up there. Now, do you believe that you have the power to do that? Is there anything in the Bible, anything ever written by the Apostle Paul, that would lead you to believe in any way at all that you had the power to command the weather? So, let me just tell you in closing that the word of faith theology is taken from New Age mysticism. That's where it comes from. That's the foundation of what they believe. It is New Age mysticism. And they are speaking things into existence. Now, you might say to me, well, look at all the leaders of these churches. They seem to be highly prosperous. They seem to be living by what it is that they preach. The only reason why it looks like they are living by what they preach is because they are lying to the people that follow them. They are using the Bible to play on the innate greed of human beings, and then they bamboozle you with words of faith and releasing your faith. This is what they say. The way faith works is through our words. We speak whatever we desire to come to pass, and we believe and do not doubt that these words of faith will come to pass, and these words begin to create the reality of what we spoke, first in the spirit realm, then in the material realm. We speak healing to our bodies and prosperity to our finances. We even speak new cars, new homes, and new private jets into existence for us. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to release your faith through a positive confession. Then you have to act as if the thing that you spoke into existence has already happened. Once you have said it and claimed it, stood on the promises and declared it, and have believed and not doubted, you will finally receive your miracle. If you don't get your miracle, then they circle back around and they say that you didn't confess properly. You didn't believe strongly enough. The blame is always put on you. And we could spend 5 hours playing clips of phony faith healings and claims of people being raised from the dead and all that other garbage. You know how many people have been raised from the dead since the Bible closed? Nobody. That's how many people have been raised from the dead. Nobody. Who is raising people from the dead in 2022? Nobody. Now, if you get born again, if you get saved, Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But you don't hear that from these Bible perverters. And you won't hear that. So, the next time that you're talking with somebody who is part of the Word of Faith movement, now you know the basis on which their doctrine is formulated. It is based on New Age positive thought confession. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It is not Christian. It is not biblical. It is an offshoot of the ancient Babylonian religion. And it has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do, with biblical Christianity. Out in Redding, California, there's a church called Bethel Church. And the leader of Bethel Church, his name is Bill Johnson. And for years, he's taught this garbage about naming it and claiming it and speaking a positive confession, and you can have whatever you want by speaking it into existence. Well, last year his wife got sick, and they all spoke a word of positive confession over her, and she died. Now, you might say to yourself, well, it's God who gives life, and it's God who takes life, and that would be true. But if you remember that clip that I played from Jesse Duplantis, Jesse Duplantis says he decides when he dies because he speaks it into existence. And that's what they all believe. That's what Bill Johnson believes. And yet when his own wife was sick, he was unable to speak into existence her healing. He was unable to have any of his charismatic friends speak a word over her and extend her life. These people are frauds and they are phonies. And all you have to do is turn their music off, and they won't get more than 50 people in their churches. Because they don't come for the preaching. They don't come for the Bible teaching. They come for the feelings and the experience. But it has nothing to do with the Bible. Well, I hope this program was a blessing to you. And if you are sucked up in this word of faith garbage, you need to get out of it. The Bible says that they may recover themselves from the snare of the devil. You need to get yourself out of that. That is not Bible. That is not Christianity. It is not biblical. It's just a bunch of garbage that preys upon your greed and your desire to have a lot of stuff and to never be sick. Heavenly Father, I just pray that this program will lead at least one person who is sucked up into this movement. I just pray that at least one person, Lord, who is in the Word of Faith movement will hear this and find the strength to get up and get out of it. And if they're not saved, to get saved and to open up a King James Bible and to believe the truth. And Lord, we also pray for the east coast of Florida tonight as the hurricane begins to bear down even while I'm doing this program. Keep us all safe, Lord, and just set a hedge of protection about everybody from coast to coast. And we ask it all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday afternoon at noon Eastern time, and we're going to have a pretty good podcast for you. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
The preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church as we know it is losing its fire, and some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on, 'cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. It would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul, 'cause it's just one more soul.